Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Gale with Healing Begins. And I don't know if you're driving your car, where are you at, running down the road. Maybe you're sitting at home. Maybe it's 1 a.m. in the morning and you're listening to me. But today is a special privilege. I have a guest on my show, Neil Getzlow. He wrote an amazing book, Unmasked by Neil Getzlow, Conquering Sexual Sin and Walking in Victory. And I've titled this time, Overcoming Pornography. And Neil, say hi.
Hi, everybody. Pastor Gale, thank you so much for the chance to talk about this. I truly appreciate all that you do.
Why don't you share a little bit about yourself and a little bit of your background growing up, and then what brought you to today? And
sure,
you can talk about your book. Just go with the flow.
We'll go with the flow and feel free. Like, yeah, the flow could take many, look like many different things. So we'll just, you just tell me when we want to take a detour. But my name's Neil Getzlow. I live in Kansas City, Missouri. I am married to my amazing wife, Amy, for 11 years now. And between us, we have 5 boys, all between the ages of 20 and 24. So fortunately, they're all out of the house but one, so it's a little bit more calm than it used to be. And professionally, I'm a communication professional for a large restaurant franchise group. And but I also have I grew up in a Jewish household in St. Louis, Missouri. And I say Jewish, it's really more of a cultural, as a cultural Jew. I mean, my mom was Jewish, so I am Jew by blood, but really there was no connection to God whatsoever. It was just rituals. I knew when Passover was, I knew where all the high holidays were. I knew we'd get together as a family, but I couldn't tell you why or what the significance of it was. We was there for the food. Right. And so,
exactly.
Yeah. And so, that's why and really by the time I had gotten to high school, I'd consider myself an atheist. So that's why it is so, it's still so shocking to be sitting here in this position with a book that I published that talks about my conversion from being an atheist to now becoming a follower of Christ.
Well, that's a big deal going from Jewish to follower of Christ. So that alone is a big conversation.
It is. And sometimes I don't think I give enough credence, like enough emphasis on that part, just to go from being an atheist to now believing in Christ. That is a big leap, but I also say, and you know, obviously the topic of the show, you know, for 40 years of my life, and I'm just a tad over 50 now, so most of my life, I was addicted to pornography, and I was exposed to it at the age of 9. It sort of just sat in my heart, grew with me, and once I first got exposed to it, it just grabbed hold of me and wouldn't let go of me. And it just continued on and on and on over 4 decades. And it really literally was not until the power of Christ came and got my attention in a very direct way. That was the first step for me to breaking those chains of addiction.
Well, like I told you earlier, before we get on the show, wow, your book ought to be a bestseller because pornography is a pandemic. Now, I got to admit, when I opened this book and I got in chapter 1, oh my goodness.
It hits you hard.
I can hear your wife's feet coming down the hall. I go, oh my gosh. Look, folks, this is a good book. I don't want to give too much away because I want people to buy it. So the book is Unmasked by Neil Getzlow, Conquering Sexual Sin and Walking in Victory is the name of the book. Where can they get it?
Yeah, and if you go to my website, neilgetzlow.com, you can find, you can order the book there. And in fact, actually, between now and through October, 50% of sales from the book are going to go to Run to Stop It, which is an organization that all their money goes to fighting against sex trafficking and helping organizations that are in the fight against sex trafficking. So it's an important organization for me. And so I'd be blessed if you were to check it out. And you can also find a podcast, also called Unmasked, that Pastor Gale, you were a guest on a few weeks ago, and I appreciate that. It's God continues to work in me and is continuing to lead me down paths that I never thought would be possible. And here we are.
Well, I want everybody to know too that we were recording this over Zoom. So if the sound isn't like it normally is with me, we're on a Zoom call, but it's pretty hard to get Neil down here to Michigan. And so we got to share the story over Zoom. But I think that I can't tell you how many people through the ministry here come in hooked on porn, including children. I've dealt with children young as nine that stumbled onto pornography on the internet, and it absolutely has them addicted. Like it's got its claws into them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I believe it's a spirit. It's not just a choice, but once you open the door to that, it really gets a hold of you.
Well, and you think about it too, when I first got exposed, you know, we're talking Playboy magazines. And so it's, you know, they were a lot harder to come across in my day and age growing up. But now for kids today, they're 5 seconds away from finding it online, and it's so easy. And there's no checks and balances. And there are, you know, and we talk about, you know, let's get into it. We talk about sex trafficking of kids, and, you know, I think that brings up, like, people think of, oh, the van driving down the street and someone's going to come grab your kid. That used to be what it looked like. Today, it's online predators who are going after the kids, who are getting them comfortable talking online and sharing things. And next thing you know, your kids are getting pornographic images sent to them on their cell phones, and or being convinced to send images of themselves to someone that they just met online. And that's where, and you know, and you see even now research says that teenage boys today are more violent in their sexual interactions because they're picking that up from watching it from porn and thinking that's how you treat a woman. I'm speaking from a man's perspective, but you know, that's how, you know, boys are being more violent because of the images that they're seeing through pornography.
Well, and one of the things we found here is that when people come in for healing, if they score high on anger, the next step, the next thing I ask them is, are you into pornography? 95% say they are. If they score high in the anger, 95% chance they have a porn addiction going right along with it. So,
and I definitely had anger issues as well growing up. And you know, and it's a lot of it is generational sin passed along from one generation to the other. My grandma was always yelling at my mom was yelling at me, and then I carried on that tradition. But I had a lot of anger and bitterness and hostility built up inside of me, and it was I used the anger to control people, to control situations that I couldn't control. And again, that's one of the blessings of having being born again is the fruits of the salvation. And that anger, while there's still undercurrents there, and I have to work to keep it in check, but it's slowly melting away.
So, and the other problem we have nowadays, men and women sometimes, more men than us, I've met many men that think porn is absolutely normal. Nothing wrong
with it.
That's
right. Yeah.
But the problem is there is something wrong with it. And a lot of the kids and adults that are in porn are also struggling with shame, feeling ashamed that they're into porn. And so they don't know where to reach out. They don't know where to turn. And so what we do is we begin to go through the healing process. Now, before we get too far into that, let's talk a little bit about your journey to faith. I think your journey to faith and overcoming porn is kind of interconnected, right?
They kind of go hand in hand. And so this is a little bit of a jarring story for folks. And I'll try to keep it relatively brief here.
Cause I like jarring stories. Maybe we need a jarring.
Yeah, maybe we do, because I needed a God moment. I actually needed three God moments to break me out of the hooks of pornography that were inside of me. I had three God moments, you know. So when I started with pornography, but just like any drug as an addict, it wasn't hard enough, right? Like I needed something stronger and stronger to keep those dopamine feelings going. And so it would go from pornography. Then as I got older, had more access to resources, more time, more money. Then it went to, you know, adult theaters, and it went to strip clubs, and ultimately led me to looking online to find women who I could pay to have sex with. And that ultimately led me to a hotel room in Chicago in February of 2020. And I went and visited a woman there. And when I got through with the meeting, as I was getting ready to leave, the second bedroom door opens up in this hotel room and a rather large gentleman walks out. Looked like an offensive lineman from the Chicago Bears. And, but in his hand, he's holding his cell phone and it's got my wife's contact information on there. And they tell me, look, you're going to have to pay us more money or we're going to call your wife. And of course, you know, I put myself in some really bad circumstances, situations previously, but this is the first time where I'm thinking, all right, this may be it. And so I paid him $900, managed to get out of the room, and I went on about my day. And this is where I called my book Unmasked. I put my mask on real tight, walking out of that hotel, and shoved everything that just happened, shoved it inside. Nope. This is what I had done my whole life. Nobody knew I was addicted to pornography. No one had known I was visiting women and paying them for sex. And then I went to my business meetings. Nobody knew I was just blackmailed by a prostitute. I went about my day, had great meetings, went home. Amy picked me up from the airport. She didn't know anything. So I'm thinking, this is great. Like I'm just the scare, the secret life. I can continue with it. And then 3 days later on Sunday, March 1st at 9:30 PM, I'm working on my laptop in my office. And I start getting texts from this couple again saying, you've got 15 minutes to pay us more money or we're going to call Amy. And I at that point I'm sort of on autopilot. I'm like, I don't know what to do, but I'm not paying them any more money. I'm just thinking they're going to get bored with me and move on. I'm sure they have other guys that they're trying to do this to, but, they did get bored, but exactly 15 minutes later, they're like, well, nah, we're done with you. And I could hear the phone buzzing upstairs and they were calling Amy. And yes, those footsteps I described in the book.
What did they send Amy?
They sent Amy. They said, you know what your husband was up to in Chicago? And they had incriminating pictures.
Oh my goodness. Was your wife mad?
She was mad. Yeah, she was mad and hurt and confused. The thing, looking back on it, I would say she probably in some ways was probably a little bit relieved because she knew deep inside of her heart that something was going on, that I was doing something for the past 5 years. She never could put her finger on it. And I think she would tell you too that she was scared to ask the question because she didn't really want to know the truth. But God forces the truth out of everybody, and he forced this truth into our lives that night. And yeah, she came charging into my office, asked me, she's like, are you cheating on me? And then I did what any good addict would do, which is I lied and said, no, this is the first time I'd ever done anything like this. I'll never do it again. But I was more sorry that I was caught than I was sorry about the pain that I was inflicting on her. And, you know, think about the timing of this too. This happens in March of 2020. So a couple of weeks after this incident gets exposed, you know, COVID lockdowns happen. And now both of our jobs are impacted. So we've got nothing but time on our hands
to try to work.
And we're together, right? So it's like, it is just like, okay, something's going on. But for the next 6 weeks, we're talking more and we're trying to recover from this. But again, I haven't told her everything. She only knew about this one incident. Finally, about 6 weeks later, while we're home together, I set up an appointment to go meet someone else I had a arrangement with in Kansas City. And when I went to go meet this person, Amy, who does not know how to use a computer, and my computer is usually locked when I leave the house, somehow managed to get onto my locked computer, figured out how to take screenshots of my messages, and that was texting me saying, what is going on, as I'm on my way to meet this other person. And so I immediately turn around and I get home, and I don't even remember honestly what I told Amy, because it was just a bunch of garbage. And obviously she wasn't buying it, rightly so. And she told me, look, if you want to save this marriage, you're going to have to ask God for help, period. That's it. And so we went to bed. The next morning, I wake up. She's already gone. She had left to go blow off some steam somewhere. So I was like, well, this is the seems like a good time to pray to God. So for the first time in my life, I asked God for help, and I just like said, I don't know what I'm doing. I have nowhere else to go. Like if you can help me, if there's help out there, give me a sign and let me know. And as soon as I finish that prayer, the garage door pops open and it's Amy. And Amy truly is the key to this whole story. And so she comes upstairs. I told her that, hey, look, I prayed. I really want to work on our marriage. And she reluctantly agrees. And we go about the day. And then later that afternoon, finally, there's a random message she gets on Facebook Messenger saying, do you know Anil Getzlow? She turns out to be the ex-boyfriend of another woman that I had been seeing. So before that we even got to that point, there was something inside me that says, I've got to basically confess everything to Amy. And I sat her down and I told her everything that I had been doing for the past 6 years of our marriage. And I felt so good to get that off my chest, because I hadn't told anybody in my life what had been going on. And she looked up at me and she's like, Neil, Jesus forgave me for my sins. How can I not forgive you for yours? I forgive you. And that wasn't just Amy. That was Amy saying, I forgive you. But that was also Jesus working through Amy to say, I forgive you. And that was the last day I looked at pornography. It's been 3 years and 4 months now. That was the day my life changed.
Before this, you're Jewish. And didn't I think you shared with me that Christians kind of bothered you a little bit? Jesus followers. Did they bother you a little bit?
So my wife, Amy, got saved 6 months after we had gotten married. So before we got married, we lived a very sinful life together, celebrating our sins together. We got partying and all that stuff. It was great. 6 months into our marriage, she decides to tell me that she is now a born again follower of Jesus. All the things that she used to love to do are now gone. And I'm just I wish she would have told me 6 months ago. I might not have married you at this point, but here we are. And she prayed for me for 8 years, which is just, I still can't get over that fact. And she would play me these videos from Ray Comfort and Living Waters Ministry, where he is going out to evangelize people on the street. And she'd play these videos before I'd go to sleep at night, hoping that I would fall asleep and maybe subliminally something would trigger inside of me. And lo and behold, it did. And after this encounter happened and Amy forgave me, you know, I poured myself into the Bible and to God and discovered that, well, Jesus is Jewish. Like, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that, did you?
No. Like, the first you get into the New Testament, you know, this is a book written, you know, to the Jews by the Jews. Like, I just, like, it just it floored me. And it, from that point on, it just fueled everything. I needed as much of it as I could. And, you know, by the time I got through the Bible the first time around at the age of 50, like I was a new person and was born again.
So what do you think the keys were to your freedom?
Well, first and foremost, it starts with God, right? You've got to put your faith in God and let him guide you and give you the tools and resources you need to be able to break free from the pornography. But beyond that, I'd say it's also, you've got to get rid of the junk food of your mind. So not only the pornography, but it's the things that lead you to pornography, which is cable TV, Netflix, social media, all that stuff is junk food for your mind. You know, when you go on a diet and you want to lose weight, what do? You stop eating chips and cake and junk food.
Yes.
When we want to get our mind right, then what do? We never talk about having a diet for our mind, but you got to take all that junk from your mind and flush it away and fill it up and start replacing it with God and good stuff that fills you up. And that's when you can start to see a transformation.
Don't you think honesty and the confessing of your sin was key?
Oh, absolutely. And like that forgiveness from Amy was almost more for her than it was for me. But by confessing and seeking forgiveness, that unlocks the bitterness. It unlocked a chance for us to heal in our relationship. But what it didn't do is it didn't take any of the accountability and responsibility away from me. I had to still be accountable for my previous actions, but now I had to walk them out. And that's what I've been doing the past 3 years, is trying to show Amy that that I am a different person, that that old Neil is dead and gone.
Well, you know, it's kind of like God burnt your house down. I mean, if it wasn't been for the Lord using those heathen people to get your wife's, if this doesn't scare somebody in pornography, nothing will, because they got your wife's contact information. And yeah. If they wouldn't have made that phone call.
Right. Well, if they hadn't made that phone call, I don't think I would, I know I would not be sitting here today. I probably actually, I would be dead. I really believe I was digging such a deep hole that there would have been no way to come out from it. And I will also say, God used, and I know COVID-19 was very hard for a lot of people. I lost my father in the middle of COVID-19. But for me, it was a blessing, because God said, I'm going to take away everything that you love. I'm going to take away your porn, your sex. I'm going to take away your ability to go out and get drunk with your friends. I'm going to take away the sports that you love. I'm going to take away everything that you love. And you now have the time in front of you to get your life right. What are you going to do?
Well, as we wind up this program, I'm going to call this part one, because we're going to launch out and do a part two on overcoming pornography. Why don't you say a prayer right now for those that are listening as we close out? We got a couple more minutes left.
Sure. Father, just thank you for this opportunity to be able to encourage other people who might be struggling with pornography. And Lord, we just let those people know, like, we hear you, we see you. This is not who you are, that the pornography is not your identity. While it fills up this hole in your heart right now, there's something that is out there that can fill your heart up even more. And that is the love of God. And Father, I just ask that you find the right hearts, you find the right minds today, open up people's ears, soften hearts, and just let your healing come through today, and encourage people to take that first step towards saying, just come to you saying, I've got a problem, I need help. Let them come to you for help, and you will provide the resources needed to take those first steps. Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for all the blessings, and we thank you for the lives that you're going to change. In Jesus' name, amen.
Neil, what is the website, your website again, how they can get your book?
Yeah, if you go to neilgetzlow.com, neilgetzlow.com, you can find all the information about me. You can connect with me, drop me an email, order the book, listen to the podcast, all kinds of good stuff. So,
is your book on Amazon too, or no?
It is on Amazon too. But if you buy it through my website, we're able to donate the proceeds back to Run to Stop It.
Perfect. That's great. That's a great cause, and I'm all for helping kids get free and rescuing kids. So, to the listener, I would say, may the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. And remember, Christ can set you free from anything. Call upon His name. He'll be there.